Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Radio Top Tropicals, where we answer all of your plant and tropical plant related questions. Today's show is We'd Like to Help, where we will be discussing weed science, particularly how such methods as cultivation, proper watering, and proper horticulture techniques can help you to control weeds. Before we start, just a little homework here. You can listen to us live on our Mixlr site. That's mixlr.com/toptropicals. You can listen to our new events live as well as listen to our previous broadcasts. Alternatively, you can also call in to our studio. That's 239-887-3323. And we will get your questions live on the air. All right, so to announce and discuss our topic of We'd Like to Help, let me introduce our host, International Certified Crop Advisor and Weed Specialist, Robert Reefer. Robert, take it away.
Thank you. This morning we're going to discuss the many interesting and fascinating things about weeds, particularly the ones in your garden. And just as it's best to destroy an enemy by making him your friend, we can actually make some of these weeds our friends. So in weed science, we try and figure out basically how to eliminate the weeds. And many people feel that, well, what kind of herbicide do you use? Well, using herbicide is like an attorney going to trial. You only use the herbicide when all other measures have indeed failed. Many of the ways that we can keep weeds out of our garden are by mechanical means, also known as cultivation. I've always been curious as to why we say we place a plant into cultivation when we do everything but cultivate it. Cultivation provides air and water for the root systems of plants and trees, and also makes for a much better soil. And unfortunately, in today's mechanized society, we've forgotten about some of the old ways, which were tried and proven for several thousand years. So by taking a look at what things we can do to prevent weeds, we can therefore reduce their population. Now, a weed is an unwanted plant. Many people, particularly in some of the citrus groves and in the vegetable patches, will freak out when they see a weed that's 4 feet tall. Well, it depends on what is going on underground. Some of these large weeds with 4 foot high root systems, or 4 foot high tops, have very shallow root systems. So economically, they're not chewing on a bunch of fertilizer, etc. But here we'll deal with the gardener. One of our questions were, are there any weeds that are edible, and how do you know the difference? Well, everything is edible. Sometimes only once. You will know the difference if it is edible or not by certain things such as your throat closing up and lack of oxygen, your skin turning funny colors, and any hallucinogenic properties involved. The interesting thing that I have found is there are literally hundreds of thousands of plant species worldwide. And yet, the diet of humans is based on only a handful of grains, a few fruits and vegetables, and we are using less than a tenth of 1% of the entire population of plants for our diet. In addition, many of the plants which are considered poisonous actually have tremendous use and medical value. For instance, the periwinkle, native to Madagascar, genus Vinca, the root system is used for childhood leukemia. Many of the Apocynaceae, which comprise your Allamanda, your Frangipana, and many other plants, are being sought with medicinal uses as well. So it's basically my feeling that every plant and animal on this planet has a definitive purpose. And if we just investigate what's going on with these plants, do some chemical analysis, take a look at some of the old folklore, then maybe we can increase our productivity both in the home garden and in agriculture. The main idea is maybe there aren't too many weeds. Maybe it's just our lack of imagination and studying. So we need to really investigate the weeds thoroughly.
Okay, so Robert, interesting topic. The first thing that comes to mind is you mentioned weeds aren't necessarily bad, but they are unwanted in our garden. And you talked about some being edible, obviously some not. Is there an easy way, going back to that question, to determine if a unwanted plant in your garden is edible, and what do you suggest?
Well, I would suggest that take a look at what the weed is, attempt to get it identified. There are many resources involved. Google is actually the best. If you know the genus and species, or even the common name of the weed, key it in, click on images, and see if that matches the plant that you are trying to get rid of. Now, remember, there are many, many species of plants that are edible. However, you may be allergic. To me, a peanut is edible. To some people, it can be instant death. So allergies need to be taken into consideration. To give you one example, there's a weed known as Chymus teratifolia, also known as the Brazilian pepper or Florida holly. I find the little berries to be absolutely delicious, and they're even sold in the grocery stores in the pepper grinder series. They're called pink peppercorns. However, if you are allergic to mangoes, you will probably be allergic to this species as well, because they're in the same plant family. In addition, I found out that my wife was highly allergic to Brazilian pepper when we ended up getting a couple of truckloads of free mulch. Well, $200 of dermatological bills later, the mulch ended up not being so free.
Okay, so moving away from the edible piece of it, a weed being identified as a unwanted guest in our garden, everybody's goal then is to remove that weed. Are there some safe processes, some safe herbicides to rid our flower gardens of the weeds without damaging our wanted plants?
Yes, indeed, there are safe herbicides, but as I've said before, take a look at your garden or your yard. See exactly how many weeds there are. Do you have four or five or six unsightly weeds? If so, you may want to go to the digital method of pulling them out by hand. Are they really encroaching in a bad way? Many of the farmers now take a look at portulaca, also known as rose moss. But if you kind of look at the root system and see exactly where they're interfering, in your garden, they may not be such a bad deal. Now, many of the weeds should be taken out because they act as a host for bugs and for viruses and other pathogens that can attack your plants. Basically, see if you can't pull them. If you don't want to bother pulling them, mowing is a most excellent time. Some weeds are annual, in which case you can mow them or cut them down, weed whack them, before they flower, therefore breaking out the life cycle. Other mechanical means involve the use of either plastic mulches or mulch from the big box store or small box store, as well as taking a look at the water level in your garden. I practice a strategy that I call keep away, just like that old game, more or less the opposite of dodgeball. And in this, what you want to do is make sure that the plants you want to grow get water, and simply the weeds that you do not want to grow do not get the water. In agriculture and in gardening, there are two methods you can use. One is called seepage, where you're literally pouring water down on the ground and letting it percolate up once it hits an impermeable layer of soil. Now, this is only used about 1% worldwide. The other method is direct placement. This can be done through drip tubing. It can be done through many other methods where you are directly getting the water onto your crop that you want to grow or your flowers. The big box stores are particularly good for this, and they can show you a very good method of laying in the proper irrigation system that will grow your plants well that you want and keep the water away from those plants that you do not want. Finally, if you must herbicide, there are safe herbicides. Many of them, some are organic, such as the rosemary oils and other mint oils. The mint family, or Labiate, have oil that actually disrupts the both the pre-emergence of weeds as well as act as an herbicide. You've heard of the brand name Roundup, which is glyphosate. There is quite a hullabaloo about, is glyphosate safe? Is glyphosate unsafe? I use glyphosate. I've been using glyphosate for 40 years. And I have not as yet experienced any problems. I take an attitude in life, you have to die of something, and who wants to live to be 135 if you got to stare a bulgur wheat muffin in the face every morning?
A true disaster. Okay, so we talked about ways to weed, maybe the old-fashioned method, pull them out by hand, some safe herbicides. What about preparing and catching the weeds before they grow? There's some techniques our listeners can use to perhaps limit the growth of weeds before they plant. Pre-emergence is a question. Do pre-emergence really work? What about ground covers? Talk a little bit about those topics.
All right. With pre-emergence, you are using a chemical that will kill the seed before it grows into a young plant. Now, there are a few problems with pre-emergence. Number one is what we call the plant back period. you're basically poisoning the soil. So if you use a pre-emergent, you cannot plant seeds right after. Some of the various pre-emergents, which are highly species dependent, may be used, and some may not be. This depends on what type of crop you are planting. We tend in weed science to categorize things either as a dicot, meaning a broadleafed plant, or a monocot, meaning things such as your grasses, your sedges, etc. Many monocots include palm trees, orchids, onions, asparagus, lilies, and the like. So you really need to be careful with pre-emergent. Now, one thing you can do, and it's quite easy to do, is to take visqueen plastic, you know, those little painter tarps, and place that over an area. Either use landscape pins or rocks or whatever you need to hold it down. Punish the children and make them stand in the sun and in the four corners of your garden holding down the plastic for the next 30 days or so. But this will solarize the soil. This not only takes care of many weed seeds, making a temperature too hot for them to germinate, but it can also kill many pathogens, such as Fusarium fungus. It can work on nematodes and perhaps even nemafrogs. But solarization of soil is really a great way to work it out. Also, bear in mind, your lawn or garden is constantly being bombed. By what? By weed seeds. They travel in the wind. They travel on the little birdie's dirty feet. Your cat, your dog, yourself spread the weed seeds. So you're never going to completely eliminate them. But weeds are basically like terrorists. They're always around. So you just got to deal with it.
Yes, the weed jihad is active every day. Now, what about some of the fabric materials you see at the big box stores? Can you put that down and plant only in certain areas, like the plastic? And the plastic you remove, I take it, after you've solarized the dirt?
Yes, the plastic you take off as soon as you have indeed solarized the soil. Solarization takes about 3 to 4 weeks for a really good job. Now, if you want instant gratification, at the big box stores and or a good nursery supply store, you can use landscape fabric. We had a nursery in the backyard for many a year, and we put down this landscape fabric, and it lasted on the order of approximately 10 years. So it's really a good way. One other strategy, and here's a strategy that I like, is take a look at your yard. See if you want to put in some trees. Shade is an enemy of many of the weeds. In fact, in Miami-Dade County and over here to a certain extent, they raise avocado trees, mango trees, longan, and lychee nut trees, all of which we have, by the way, here at Top Tropicals. And what they do when they prune these trees, they actually use the leaves of the trees as a mulch. In corn farming, the trick is to get the corn high enough, fast enough, to where it shades the weeds. Even in the Everglades and in South Florida, if you grow the sugarcane fast enough, there's plenty of shade to where the weeds don't spring up as bad. So basically, one other thing that would really, really help. Unfortunately, our younger generation, and as well as our present generation, is getting out of touch with the earth. with the land. Have you ever thought that teenagers are actually useful? We have summertime coming up. And with summertime coming up, you have youth which are looking for work. And they're willing to do anything, almost. There are those lazy, shiftless people who want to just look at their iPod all day or their cell phones. But there are some very good, decent kids out there that need a summer job. So think about your neighborhood, think about your community, and see if you can't get a little more involved. The cost of many of these pesticides is even more expensive than giving one of your neighborhood children a job weeding your yard and doing some landscaping. And relationships can be built and communities can be strengthened in this way.
There we go, America. Put our youth to work. Get them in the garden. All right, Robert, before we continue, I just want to also mention, in case you didn't realize it, tomorrow is Mother's Day.
Well, I was hatched.
So, Mother's Day, obviously a live plant is always a great Mother's Day present. And here at Top Tropicals, we have a Mother's Day sale going on. It ends Sunday, tomorrow, Mother's Day. And we have two special discount coupons available. Mother's 15, which is a 15% off for your orders over $100. That's before shipping and handling. And Mother's 20, 20% off for orders over $200. Again, before shipping and handling. So only 2 days left in our Mother's Day sale. Again, the codes are Mother's, plural, Mother's 15, and Mother's 20. Don't forget Mother's Day tomorrow. Robert, moving on, talked about some other strategies to help reduce and perhaps eliminate weeds. I have a great question here. It says that I've heard that laying down newspaper before I mulch will help with weeds. Is this true and will it hurt my plants?
It depends on whether or not the plants like the newspaper article. However, newspaper can be used. Everybody's all organic nowadays, so we guess y'all use your soy ink newspaper. They really do tend to degrade quite a bit. And believe it or not, the newspaper does not always allow the water through. You can dig up some newspapers that are deep down in the ground and still read it 40 years later in the landfill. I actually prefer the various plastic mulches used by the big box store, or available in the big box stores. By the way, just because something is plastic does not mean that it is not organic. The plastic peanuts, for instance, that you see nowadays that are biodegradable are made of corn. In fact, in a supply house in Immokalee, Florida, I remember the chickens eating the plastic peanuts, and they laid pretty good eggs. In fact, the eggs bounced real high.
A rubber chicken eating plastic peanuts. I love it. Okay, Robert, here's a general question, I know, but maybe you can help us zero in on the answer. Regarding proper watering, you talked about perhaps controlling weeds by not watering everything in your garden with drip irrigation, for example. So the question is, what does proper watering mean, and how often, and how do I water to make sure I'm doing it properly? Any general tips we can offer our audience?
Okay, proper watering entails getting the water onto the plant you want. A lot of people sprinkle their plants. Well, I have sprinklers. Sprinkling is not watering. Watering is making sure that the soil is moist enough so that the roots can absorb it and keep your plant or tree happy. A lot of people sprinkle, and the weeds just absolutely love it. when it does the crop that you're trying to raise, absolutely no good whatsoever. So once again, proper placement of the water is where how you want to do it. And this can be done with low irrigation emitters. It can be done with even an old-fashioned watering can. I have one of these watering cans, and I water many of my plants that way, and when I'm not telling the wife to go do it.
Okay, so proper watering is getting the right amount of water to the right plant. You know, talking about our Mother's Day sale, I also wanted to mention that we do have two very rare collections of plants. We've put them on sale at over 50% off for Mother's Day. Each collection has three different plants. You can go to our website and look at toptropicals.com. Look for specials. It goes right to specials and sales link. We'll take you right to our collection of two unique collections just for you this Mother's Day. And remember, you can always send a card and let your mother know the plants are on the way. It's never too late to get a great live plant in the hands of your loving mother. Robert, one more question or so we have time for. Here's an interesting question. Are there any weeds that will help my plants? We talked about some of the bad things weeds can do. Are there any weeds that would be helpful?
Yes, as a matter of fact, marigolds, although many consider them a weed, there are many marigold relatives that will help against nematodes, things such as that. Now, one other strategy even is weeder geese, but in many of the suburban areas, this would not be good, especially if you've ever stepped in the after effects of a goose. But yes, there are some weeds that you can use. In fact, there are weeds that can be used as ground covers. There are low-growing species of portulaca. In fact, we'll hopefully soon be experimenting with some weeds. There is the primrose genus Anothera as well that we're taking a look into as a possible ground cover for agricultural production. So take a look, see what's there, and remember, a weed is only an unwanted plant. And many a times it's unwanted, not due to there being so many weeds, but due to there being such lack of imagination.
All right, well, you heard it here first, folks. Robert is planning on experimenting with weed, so I look forward to the results of that experiment. One question that came in, and a great reminder, will we, Top Tropicals, be at the Manatee Rare Fruit Show next weekend? In fact, we will. The 2017 Manatee Rare Fruit Council happens next Sunday. That's Sunday, May 21st, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Palmetto, Florida. It is the largest one-day tropical fruit tree sale. Over 25 vendors, of course, Top Tropicals will be there. Over 5,000 plants. You go right there and you can buy your plants. No ordering. You can walk out the door with your rare tropical fruit plant. So come see us next weekend at the Manatee Rare Fruit Council. Sunday, May 21st, begins at 10 a.m., Palmetto, Florida. Look them up online. Okay, Robert, that's all the time we have for today.
I didn't know that manatees like fruit.
Manatees, the fruit lover. Robert, before we go, let's talk about our broadcast next week. How about you introduce our show for next Saturday?
Next Saturday, we are going to have Come Ride My Peninsula, where we are going to discuss the wonderful things about the great state of Florida, second only to the state of inebriation.
All right. Sometimes they're the same. Well, thank you, Robert, for your time today. And for our listeners, thank you. Remember our Mother's Day sale. Don't forget your mother. We have sale going on today and tomorrow. And come see us next weekend at the Manatee Rare Fruit Council.
So what do I get for Mommy Frankenstein?
I say the plant collection.
That's a good idea.
Both of them, in fact, they're very rare. We'll see everybody here on Radio Top Tropicals next Saturday, 11 o'clock, to talk about real Florida, our plants, and all of the wonderful tropical plants that Top Tropicals has. Thanks, everybody.